Good morning, my dear brothers and sisters, young people, friends. As most of you will know, it's been some 15 years since I've had the opportunity to give an exhortation, and so I am a little bit nervous. This is definitely a lot more responsibility than being in the kitchen. I read over the readings for inspiration for this exhortation. And I was a little stumped because I was trying to find a positive and uplifting message. And so I had to read the readings over quite a few times. In Genesis readings, Joseph's brothers hated him. Chapter 37, verse 4. And when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. And they decided that they would kill him. Verse 18. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast has devoured him, and we shall see what becometh of his dreams. Not really a lot of positive there. Reuben did step up and try to convince them not to kill him, but to just merely put him in a pit, in verse 22. And Reuben said unto them, Shed no blood, but cast him into the pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands and deliver him back to his father again. His plan was to save him, but instead of standing right up to his brothers, he tried to trick them, and that didn't work out very well. If we turn over to the Psalms readings, Psalm chapter 39. I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle, while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace, even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me, while I was musing, the fire burned. Then I spake with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Surely, every man walketh in a vain show. Surely, they are disquieted in vain, and heapeth up riches, and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Deliver me from all of my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumb. I opened not my mouth, because thou didst it. Remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. When thou with rebukes dost correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee, and a sojourner, as all my fathers were. O spare me, that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more. In reading this, all I got was a feeling of stress and strain. I'm trying, but it is hard. How long can I do it for? I'm sure some of you have felt this way before. I know I have. The question, how long can I endure? In the Matthew readings, the disciples were in awe of the temple and its beauty. Matthew chapter 24, verse 1, And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. I'm going to quickly flip over to Luke chapter 21 and verse 5. And some spake of the temple and how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts. Again, I'll quickly flip over to Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13 and verse 1. And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples said unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. They were deceived by the beauty and the glamour of the temple, not seeing the corruption and the falsehood of the inside happenings. Matthew chapter 21, verse 12 and 13. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he said unto them, It is written, My house shall be the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. Luke chapter 21, verse 1 to 4. And he looked up and saw a rich man casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, Of truth I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast in more than all they. For all these have of their abundance cast into the offering of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she hath. Jesus told them that this building that they thought was beautiful would be destroyed. Right back into Matthew chapter 24 and verse 2. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say to you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. It's because he saw the corruption that they did not. And he continues on to telling them not to be deceived, that many will come and say that they are the Christ, and many will be deceived. And those that believe will be hated and killed, as we read again in verse 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all the nations for my name's sake. And verse 10, many will be offended or turn away and will betray one another and will hate one another. This isn't really positive stuff. And although many people want to believe, many religions preach, that God loves everyone. And if you accept Jesus as your Savior, your life will be good and wonderful. And church should be a happy place with clapping of hands and upbeat and welcoming to everyone, not judgmental and forever changing with the times. That sounds nice, but that simply isn't true. There is a very serious side to following God's word and to follow in the footsteps of Christ. The main thing is that if we believe in God and that Jesus is the Son of God, we cannot change or try to change this book. Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. In Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 10 to 12. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. And they shall perish, but thou remainest. And they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt they fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same. And thy years shall not fail. Heaven and earth shall pass away. They shall be changed. Those who don't believe will be gone. People come and go. Societies come and go. This world and the people in it have changed many times over since the beginning. But God and His Word has not changed. Societies and laws have changed. God's laws have not. So why or how could we think that we could alter or modify this Bible or its message? And unfortunately, these things are happening today. There are those deceiving, those who are turning away, those who now hate Him and His Word, and those who hate those that believe. Many have left, stating that they have found a better way. Many still involved, trying to change the way that we believe. So how do we stay strong? How do we make sure that we are not deceived? How do we see past the doom and gloom and find the peace and happiness that is promised to us in Scripture? Well, for starters, in these readings of today. In preparing this exhortation, as I stated, I was stumped. But I kept reading them over. And for me, at least, I saw the hope that is right alongside the doom and gloom and sadness. In the Genesis readings, we have to go beyond chapter 37 and follow the life of Joseph. He was hated, almost killed, sold into slavery, later imprisoned, but he kept his faith. And he followed God. And he became the second in charge in Egypt. Now we can look at this and simply say God blessed him and rewarded him for his faithfulness. And this is true. But there is so much more to this story. His brothers came to him, the same ones that hated him and planned to kill him and sold him. And what did he do? He loved them. He took care of them. He did, however, test them first. And when they passed his test, the reward came. He knew that these things were going to happen, and he trusted in God and his plan and purpose. Joseph endured the pain and suffering, the hatreds toward him, and he had strength that God would see him through it. Now, the parallels to Jesus are obviously there. We turn again to the Psalms. And now read Psalm 40. We see the whole picture. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us word. They cannot be reckoned upon in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears thou hast opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delighted to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in a great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from upon me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed about me. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs on mine head. Therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed that have and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it, and to them driven backwards and put to shame that wish me evil. let them be desolate for a reward of their shame, that say unto me, aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad inly. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarry, O my God. Now in the past I have referred to my faith in God like Linus's security blanket from the Peanuts cartoon. It's always with me. At times I drag it through the mud. I use it for things that I shouldn't. And sometimes I do misplace it. And when I have misplaced it, or have forgotten to bring it with me, I feel lost. I need that blanket. I need that security with me at all times. And verse 17 confirmed that for me. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. There's no doom and gloom in that verse. Only comfort and a sigh of relief from the strains of this world. Matthew chapter 24. Verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Verse 25. Behold, I have told you before. We have been told exactly what is going to happen. We've been given the roadmap. There is nothing that we should not be prepared for. That is not a negative, but a positive. Verse 31. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Verse 40. And two shall be in the field, and one shall be taken away, and the other left. And two women shall be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken, and the other one left. Watch, therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. From the ends of the earth, no matter where we are, no matter what we are doing, no matter how small we feel, we will be found. We will be called. To me, that's not doom and gloom. Verse 45. Who then is faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made him ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. And if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth in coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and eat and drink with the drunkard, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in that hour that he is not aware of. And he shall cut him asunder and appoint his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. If we do what we are supposed to do, we will be rewarded. If we don't, then shall we see the doom and gloom. We are told in verse 9 that we will suffer. There is no doubt about that. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 7. Isaiah 51 verse 7. Hearken unto me that ye know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither ye be afraid of their rilings. In verse 12 of the same chapter, I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of a son which shall be made as grass? Back over to Matthew, this time in chapter 10, verse 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him that is able to destroy both the soul and body. This body will fail us, we will die, but will our heart, our mind, our soul, our faith fail? That is what matters. These verses tell us not to worry what man can do to us. God will guide us through. He will be our strength. He will be our comforter if we follow him. So what's the point I'm trying to make? Well, I guess it's that as a community, we've been looked upon as a strict, unforgiving, outdated belief. That we believe in the fear of God and not the love of God. These have been said both from within and without. I don't believe that. The readings for today, as I started by putting a negative and stayed with that at first. If that is all we see, we'll stop looking. But if you do keep looking, you will find the whole picture, the balance, the strictness, and the forgiveness. God does not accept sin. He will, however, forgive it. But we have to change our ways, not his. Man is sinful. And for us to follow God, we must put away sin, not justify it. Acceptance and forgiveness are two totally different things. To have balance, all things must be equal. The acceptance of sin and the forgiveness of sin do not balance out. The consequences of sin is death. We all know this. The beautiful promise to have our sins forgiven is a beautiful, blessed gift. The promise of the kingdom is so joyous. But in order for these things to happen, our Lord Jesus was hated. He was spat upon. He was beaten. And he was killed. He endured that for us. He gave his life for us. He put away sin from his life for his Father. God gave his Son for us. God gave us this life and the promise of the life to come. What are we willing to do for them? What are we willing to give up? What are we willing to endure? That we might share in the glory of the kingdom.